So we're in verse 20 against 2 Samuel 16, verse 20. I know there's a lot of names, and it kind of runs like the Game of Thrones. But what we're dealing with here is, I gave you that in the Appendix A, which deals with a lot of the different people to help you figure out who these people are. The two of the key figures right now are Ahithophel and Hushai. Hushai. All right. So then said Absalom to Ahithophel, "Give advice, give me counsel among you. What should we do?" And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Go in unto thy father's concubines, which ye have left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall all the hands of all that are with thee be strong." Everybody's going to be strengthened if you go and do this. Now, taking possession of the harem was a public act declaring a former king was to be deceased and replaced. This was fulfillment of Nathan's prophecy from 2 Samuel 12. All right, chapter 16, 22. "So they spread Absalom a tent upon the rooftop of the house. And Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel." I have a note. All 10 of them? "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom." That is an extremely powerful statement. His counsel was if he was sitting there right with God, and God was telling it directly to him and writing it down for him. In other words, he knew how to receive revelation from God properly, understood it, and never added to it, took away from it. It was dead on accurate every single time. Everything he told David, and unfortunately, everything he's going to say to Absalom too. All right, 17:1. "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 elite troops, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. I will set out tonight in pursuit of David, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed." Was David weary and weak-handed? Absolutely. We just read that. "And will make him afraid. I will strike him with terror. And all the people that are with him are going to run away. And I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if it all returned." You know, in other words, if you have the death of the man you seek, everybody else will return. So all the people will be in peace, because all you want is David. "And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel." Do you concur? "Oh yeah, I concur. That sounds really good to do that. I like that. Okay, that's good." Uh-oh. "Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he says. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him and said, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak." You know, give us your opinion. So here are we got rivaling counselors. And Hushai said unto Absalom, "The counsel that Ahithophel has given," oh, it's not good at this time. So Hushai is going to inflate Absalom's ego and buy time for David. That's what David sent him back there for. David, meanwhile, is at the ford in the river waiting for information from Jerusalem. They're weary. They're tired. You know, they've been up all night playing video games, and now, you know, they had to run for their lives. They weren't expecting this. He and his traveling companions, they're exhausted. They were by no means ready for a direct confrontation, and Ahithophel knew this. That's why Ahithophel was going to chase him down tonight. 2 Samuel 17:8. "For," said Hushai, "thou knowest thy father and his men, that they may be mighty men." They're warriors. "And they are chaffed." They are half crazed right now. "In their minds, just like a bear who is robbed of her cubs, whelps in the field. And thy father's a man of war. He's not going to spend the night with the people." You know, Your father and his warriors are experienced fighters. He's not going to endanger the people by staying with them. He's going to leave them. He's going to go hide someplace else and get away from them. Was that what was happening? No. And Hushai knew this. But deception. 2 Samuel 17:9. Behold, he is hid now in some pit. He's hiding out in a cave or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, you know, if you should attack your troops first, that whosoever hears it will say, there's a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, you know, even the bravest of all the soldiers, whose heart is at the heart of a lion, will utterly melt with fear. For all Israel knows that thy father's a mighty man. I mean, he's Rambo. And they which be with him are also brave men. Therefore, I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee. In other words, get some help. You don't have enough soldiers. Even from Dan to Beersheba, send out throughout the entire country and get as many troops as the sand that is by the sea of the multitude, because you're going to need them to fight David. And that thou go to the battle in your own person. You lead them. That's what he tells them. Boy, see, building up his ego. You lead these troops. You get as many as you can get together, get hundreds of thousands of millions and billions of them, and get them all together, and to prove your worthiness, you lead them in the battle, and they'll follow you. Verse 12. So shall we come upon him some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him. We'll attack him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him and all the men that were with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we. Notice he keeps saying we. I mean, he's playing this upright. And we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, ooh, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had determined to defeat or frustrate the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil or disaster upon Absalom. Remember, David prayed that Ahithophel's counsel would fall to the ground, that they wouldn't listen to him. And he also sent Hushai back to, you know, divert. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel, counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore, send the message quickly. Tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by Enrogeh, that they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, a servant girl, went and told them. And they went and told King David. So, you can see the conspiracy. Hushai tells the priest. The priest sends a wench out to go talk to the two sons that are hanging out outside of town so they can run off and tell David what needs to happen. Nevertheless, we still don't like that word, a young man saw them and told Absalom. And they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down into the well. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread grain, you know, on top of it. And nobody knew there was a well there. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house and said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. She sent them. They went that away. And it came to pass, after they were departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, arise, pass quickly over the water, for thus has Ahithophel counseled against you. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light, there lacked not one of them that had been gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass, arose, got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. He knew he was right, and that he would eventually die at the hand of David for being a traitor. Ahithophel's son was Eliam, who had a daughter named Bathsheba. Eliam stayed loyal to David and was counted as one of David's mighty men. In 23:34 it says,
Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. So it's interesting. Bathsheba's father stayed loyal, but the grandfather didn't. He turned on David, and he was replaced by Jehoiada and Abiathar. Abiathar later is going to turn against David when David's son Adonijah tried to set himself up as king before Solomon could. But that's tomorrow morning's teaching. Abiathar was the last of Eli's line to be priest, as was foretold by the man of God earlier in 1 Samuel 2. Meanwhile, David's on the run. 2 Samuel 17:24. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab. So who had been David's head of the army? Joab. Did Joab leave with David? No. But Absalom chose Amasa to be in charge of the army instead of Joab. So Israel and Absalom pitched or camped in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbath, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Ammiel of Lochbar of Scotland, and Barzali, the Gileadite of Rogalim, they brought sleeping bags. And they brought bacon. Oh no, sorry, basins. Darn. Thought he had brought them bacon. But he brought them basins, and brought them earthen vessels, and wheat, and barley, and flour, and parched grain, and beans, and lentils, and parched pulse. Parched pulse is on everybody's menu these days. Fried lentils. And honey, and butter, and sheep, and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with them to eat. For they said, the people are hungry, they're weary, they're thirsty in the wilderness. God supplies David and his followers with every need. A la Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, everything else will fall in place. David's running for his life. Last time he did it, he got two wives. This time, a lot of food shows. All right, 2 Samuel 18. And David numbered the people that were with him. And he set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab. So Joab did go with him. And a third part under the hand of Abisha, the son of Zariah, Joab's brother. And a third part under the hand of Ittite the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. I'll ride with you. And the people said, oh, no, you're not. You ain't going anywhere, David. Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better that they succor us out of the city. So the fourth branch of government, the people, spoke. They made the request known. David, you're worth 10,000 of us. You're not going to battle. 18:4. And the king said unto them, what seems you best I will do? And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out. You see the horses, boom, well, hundreds, thousands, all coming out to the battle. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, oh, deal gently for my sake with my young man, with Absalom. And all the people heard what the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom, and they didn't like it, and they shouldn't have. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in Matt Wood's place. Oh, and it was in the wood, in the forest of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was there a great slaughter that day. 20,000 men died in the civil war. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country. And the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David. You know, and Absalom was confronted unexpectedly by David's troops. Absalom's marching out, big parade type soldier thing, you know. And here comes David's troops coming in all over him. And Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. That's why they talked about his hair earlier, because it's getting him in trouble. He's going through a big, underneath the big tree, and his hair gets caught in the tree. The mule keeps going. He's stuck. He's hanging there by his hair from the tree. A certain man saw it, and went and told Joab. It says, you know, I saw Absalom just hanging out in an oak. And Joab said unto the man, where? And behold, thou sawest him. If you saw him, why didn't you smite him? So in the ground, I would have given you 10 shekels of silver, and I'd have given you a WWF belt. And the man said to Joab, I don't care if I got 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand. Yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son? You heard David. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life. I would have endangered my own life if I killed him. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, oh, geez, I may not tarry thus with thee. In other words, I'll handle this myself. You know. So basically, he said, I may not tarry thus with thee. He means, I would have handled David's wrath. I'll handle the king if you'd have killed him. So David took, excuse me, Joab takes 3 darts. It's about to be dart night. Now, these darts are lances. You know, it's a club with a long spike at the end in his hand. And he thrust them through the heart of Absalom. What's Absalom going to do? He's just hanging there. While he was yet alive in the midst of the oak, and 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Boom, 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 with the darts, cut him loose, drop him down, and they 10 of them beat him up. Just smashed them to bits. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people, and they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the woods, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, everyone to his tent, because they picked the wrong side. Ahimaaz and Cushi, they bring tidings to David about what just happened in the forest. 1831. And behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. And the king was very much moved and went into his chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Wait a minute. This was not right to those who just risked their lives in their loyalty to David to have David react this way. Verse 19:1, and it was told Joab, behold, the king weeps and mourns for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. And the people heard say that day how David was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day back into the city, as people ashamed still away when they flee in battle. They'd won the battle. They weren't supposed to be acting this way. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, oh, my son Absalom! Oh, Absalom, my son, my son! And Joab came into the house of the king and said, you have shamed this day the faces of all thy servants. Joab is dead on this time, which this day has saved, you know, your life. These people risked their life to save your life. What's wrong with you? And the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of your concubines. And that thou lovest thy enemies and hatest thy friends? For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived, and all of us had died, you would have been more well pleased. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night. And that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told all the people, saying, behold, the king's sitting in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled, every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he's fled out of the land for Absalom. Basically, they're saying, the kingdom is on the brink of civil war, some political turmoil. David better do something, or all those who fled Israel, and I'm speaking bad about David, they're going to raise up more trouble, and it's going to be a lot worse than it was. 19:10, and Absalom, whom we appointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest and said, "Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house. You are my brethren. You are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are you last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, art thou not of my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab." All right. David offers to make Amasa head over his army in place of Joab. David knew if Absalom's army is convinced to stop fighting, there'd be no one left to resist bringing him back as king. There'd be no one left to continue fighting for the rebellion. So he's Amasa, who was made head in place of Joab under Absalom. Joab then went with David, and now David is going to put Amasa as head of his army. 19:14, "And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan." So basically, when he made that offer, the war pretty much ended, and so he's coming back. Now, as he's coming back, remember all these people that did nasty things to him? Oh, we got serious, serious apologizing coming up. So, verse 16, "And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite," which was of Bahurim, "hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David." Now, who was this guy? He was the guy who was throwing rocks. He was the guy who was cursing David. And he, what are you going to do? So, he's got some serious apologizing to do. 19:17. "And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And they went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household, and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan." So everybody's coming back now. And David, and the guy's going, "Get the yacht over here to get David's wives and family. Get them across the river. Let's start taking care of these people." And Shimei comes and falls down and says, "Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord thy king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant does know that I have sinned. Therefore, before I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down and meet my lord the king." Oh, is he trying to? Is he pulling it out of his? This statement, though, implied all. I'm the first of the house of Joseph. The statement implied that they were brothers, like Joseph and Judah and Benjamin were. So he pulls. He talks his way out of death for the moment. 19:21, "And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death this day because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" Abishai still wanted. He wanted to go cut his head off before. He still wants to cut the guy's head off. David, though, told him, "Give it a rest. We won. We got the kingdom back. Who's this jerk?" All right, 19:22, "And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel again? Therefore the king said to Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king swore unto him. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace." Remember, this is Jonathan's son who was lame. They didn't have a silver key or something like that to drive him around. The guy Ziba Ziba was the one who had worked with them, and Ziba showed up at all this good stuff. Say, hey, this guy doesn't, you know, stayed back. Well, he's showing that. Well, let's listen to what he has to say. "And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant Ziba deceived me. For thy servant said, I'll saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he just took off without me. He has slandered thy servant unto the Lord thy king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what's good in thy eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thy own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" And the king said unto him, "Why speakest thou any more of this matter? I have said, thou and Ziba will divide the estate. You know, you got a big area, lots of stuff. I told Ziba to take half of it." And Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Hey, let him have it all. I don't care. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house." He's trying to prove that he really, you know, Ziba really, you know, did not deal with him honestly. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Yea, let him take it." And Barzali, the Gilead, remember Barzali? Probably not. He was the one who brought the food. He showed up with all the food. He came down from Rogalim. He was the one that David said, "Just stay, you're too old, you'll be a burden." And he went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now, Barzali was a very aged man. He was 80 years old. And he had provided the king a sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim. For he was a very great man. You know, he's a very wealthy man. He was one of the Koch brothers. Or maybe George Soros, depending on what side you're on. And the king said unto Barzali, "Come thou over me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem." And Barzali said unto the king, "Oh, how long have I to live, that I shall go up to the king unto Jerusalem? You know, I'm 80 years old. Can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink?" Now, my taste buds are shot from eating hot food. "Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women?" You know, "Wherefore then should thy servant be a burden unto the Lord my king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense at me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city, be buried in the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, my servant Chimham, let him go over with the Lord thy king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee." And the king answered, "Chimham shall go over with me, and I'll do unto him that which shall be good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee." And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzali and blessed him, and he returned into his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, "Oh, good to have you back, king. Why have our brother and the men of Judah stolen thee away? And have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan?" And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, "Because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore then you be angry in this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's cost? Or hath he given us any gift? Hey, we paid for the expenses to get the king back over here out of our own pocket. We're his, you know, Judah. He's from our tribe. We're his blood. That's why." And all the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, "We have 10 parts in the king. And we also have more right in David than you. Why then do you despise us, that our advice should not be first in bringing back our king?" And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Can't we all just get along? Let's all fight over David and show him how wonderful he is after half of us tried to go kill him. And what he means to all of us. After all, David won. He put down the uprising and he united us as one people again, and we're all going to live happily ever after.